Next week, we have a special speaker. Paul Suzuki is going to be in town with his wife, Carol. Paul is going to be speaking at both the Japanese service and the English service. Paul is the field chairman of SEND International, the mission in Japan. And it's been a long time since they've been back in the States. Actually, Japanese immigration law requires people to vacate the country on a regular basis. They received an extension once and maybe even twice, but not the third time. So they're going to be in Hawaii with Paul's folks for a while, and they're traveling to the Pacific Northwest next week and will be with us for a couple of weeks. So look forward to sharing, hearing what Paul has to share. We're going to let the kids go out next week, so that Paul didn't need to think of something to incorporate the kids or for the kids. But today we've got Dave Bossen. Are you here? Okay, good. Dave, I was talking to Hikati today, and it's only like four or five more Sundays that they're going to be with us before going to Thailand. And so the end there is coming close. But Dave is going to be working within the School of Promise and working with Thai kids, and so we'll get a chance. Dave has got something special for you with point number 3 in the message today. So hang in there till then, and then it'll get interesting. So you guys are staying in, but before we get in the Word, let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for giving us your Word that has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And I pray that you would help us to incorporate the truth of your Word, to be hearers and doers, so that in the process we might lay hold of that abundant life that Jesus promised to those who follow him, who know him, who love him, and who walk with him. May that be our experience as well. And use your Word today to encourage us, equip us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many Mariner fans do we have here? Okay. Condolences. I mean, when they start out 13-2, and you think, wow, nobody's expecting much from them. 13-2, maybe they're going to surprise people. No. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? We want to finish strong. And that's the thing that's been so painful about so many of these games this year, is that they'll take a lead into the seventh, the eighth, even the ninth inning, only to give it up and go home with another loss. Again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Finishing strong is important, and not just in sports, in life. Finishing strong is important. I think of some great people in Scripture. Think of David, Moses, Solomon, people who started out strong, who did great things for God, but in the later part of their lives made some choices that impacted them and their families and even their descendants for generations to come. Moses striking the rock in the wilderness when God said, "Merely speak to it," preventing him from being able to go into the promised land and see the fulfillment of what God had laid out for his people. David committing adultery with Bathsheba. Solomon turning his back on God and embracing the religion of his many foreign wives. Late in life choices down towards the end that prevented them from finishing strong. We're bringing the book of our time in the book of Nehemiah to a close week after next. We're only going to take it as far as the completion of the wall, but in today's passage, Nehemiah is getting really close. And as the completion, the end of this mission that Nehemiah has been on draws to a close, we see the intensity of the opposition mounted before him. Distractions, invitations, temptations to pull him away, to not complete the job that God had given him to do. And if you and I want to finish life strong, and I realize that a lot of you, that finish line is a lot farther out there than it is for me and others here. But it's important to be aware of where those distractions come from so that we can stand firm against them and finish strong. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 today. It's a little longer passage. Why don't I go ahead and read it? You can follow along either on the screen or in the Word of God yourself. It says, when the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let's meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now, this report will get back to the king, so come, let's meet together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening, and you're just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home, and he said, let's meet in the house of God inside the temple. Let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they're coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and they would give me a bad name, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah, and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. We see these temptations to give up coming from three different directions. The first one was simply an invitation. Now, as we see in the passage, that Nehemiah is getting close to being done. The wall is complete. All the voids, the broken parts have been filled in. The only thing left were to hang the gate or the doors on the gates. And once that's done, then the city is secure. The job is complete. The people could get on with life. And just at that time, an invitation comes. It says, come, let's meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. And I think anybody who has a sense of humor like I do, and I'm really sorry for this, but they have to underscore the fact that when Nehemiah is invited to Ono, he replies with, oh no. Okay. I got the same response in the Japanese service today. But you notice that in this invitation, it doesn't say why. And before we go on, I want you to, let's go with the next slide, Gif, because I think we've got the map up here. We see Jerusalem circled in red, and the plain of Ono is to the northwest near the Mediterranean Sea. It's a nice place. It's the plain. It's a flat place. Jerusalem is located on the top of a mountain. Anytime you want to go to Jerusalem, you got to climb all the way up that hill. The people that lived in the plain near the Mediterranean Sea, a bit more of a moderate climate. It was a nice getaway. And you can see that it's just on the outskirts of the territory of Judah. It was a kind of a halfway point, a good place for a summit between the people from Samaria and the people from Judah or Jerusalem, the leaders. You'll know when government typically less than friendly government leaders meet together. They'll find this neutral territory. They'll hold a summit. They'll attempt to repair relationships. And so when Sanballat approaches Nehemiah with the invitation to come to Ono, and now we can go on to the next slide, please, that when he does that, Nehemiah could think, well, maybe they realize that the work is getting done on the wall now, that there's nothing that they can do to stop it, and they're going to want to improve relationships. Nehemiah's been working hard. Maybe he's thinking, you know, I could use a break. Head down towards the sea, hang out in one of the villages there. We could make some good come out of this, but Nehemiah said, oh no. Because Nehemiah knew that they were scheming to harm me, the word says. Now, how did Nehemiah know that Sanballat did not have good intentions with this invitation? I don't know. But a wise and godly leader listens to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I think that God told Nehemiah, don't accept this invitation. Might be a good thing. It might be an attractive thing. It might be something you want to do, but put the brakes on. Because it's not going to help you accomplish this goal that I've given you. See, just because we're invited to do something doesn't mean that we should do something. We need to keep in mind, why are we here? What purpose has God given us for this life, this place in life that we're in? What does God want us to do? And then evaluate the invitations or the opportunities that come to us in light of the fact, is it going to bring me closer to that? Or is it going to pull me further away? I know of somebody who received an offer for a promotion at work. More money, more authority, higher status, but it involved a lot more travel and a lot more commitment to the job. And they turned this down because it would take away from family. It would take away from the other things that they were involved in their church, and he turned down the promotion because it didn't help him get closer to the goals that God had given them as a family. I know families that have limited their kids' involvement in sports. They've received invitations to participate in select teams, and they said, no, you know, it's going to keep us away from church involvement. And so we're not going to do that. Now, I'm not saying that travel and work and sports on select teams are a bad thing. But what I do ask you, if you're impacted by those invitations, those solicitations, those opportunities, ask yourself, is it helping us get closer to the things that God wants us to do? Or is it pulling us farther back from them? What are the things that God has called us to do? God's called us to get to know him through his word. Are you able to get in the word regularly? To read it, to study it, to memorize it, to apply it? God wants us to be people of prayer. Are we spending time praying? Ourselves, if you're married, with a spouse, with your family, with other believers? Prayer is to be an integral part of our lives. God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. Have we discovered what those are? Have we taken the opportunity to use those within the context of the body of Christ to build up the church and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ around the world? God calls us to love his people. God calls us to reach out to a world that doesn't know him. These are goals that God has given us. These are things that we're going to be thankful for at the end of our lives that we've invested in. And so then evaluate the opportunities, the invitations that come into our lives. Does this invitation help me advance these goals or prevent me from accomplishing them? Nehemiah had the discernment to resist the invitation. And it didn't just stop with once. It wasn't a one and done thing. Four times they came to him. They sent him the same message. And each time he said, I gave them the same answer. Sometimes it's like if you keep asking and asking and asking that maybe you'll break down that resistance. If you've got kids, you know what that's like. Can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? And finally you say, okay, we can do this because I'm tired of being asked. Nehemiah didn't. He resisted to the end. But it didn't stop with there. The fifth time it goes from being just an invitation to an innuendo. It says, the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide with me with the same message. You know, you get those advertisements or those things in the mail and it said, this is your final offer. This is what happened with Nehemiah. The fifth time he got the final offer, but it was accompanied with something else. An unsealed letter. Now, typically when people would communicate written or exchange written communication, they were written on papyrus or else some sort of skin or leather. And then when that was completed, that would be rolled up and sealed with wax. So that way, when it was delivered, you know that nobody else had seen this. This was a communication from so-and-so to you. This was not one of those letters. It was unsealed. It was presented in a way that Nehemiah knew that other people have seen this as well. And it wasn't an outright accusation. It was the insinuation, the innuendo here. It says, it's reported among the nations. And Geshem says that it's true that people are reporting this. That you and the Jews are plotting to revolt. How many times do we hear this phrase, they say? And then you follow up and you ask, well, who is they? Well, they. You know, it's people. You kind of get this indirect accusation. It's not God's way for communication. God wants us to be open and direct with one another, to be the type of people that can receive criticism without taking it personally and responding in attack, but also to have the courage to go and tell people directly what the Lord has laid upon your heart. We see what Nehemiah does in verse 8. He knew that this was not the proper way for communication, so in verse 8, he sends Sanballat a letter, or he responds saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, how direct can you be? He says, you're just making it up out of your head. He says, I know what you're doing. You're trying to intimidate me. You're trying to get me discouraged so that I stop the work on the wall. It says, they were trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work. This word where it's talking about being too weak or the hands, literally means that you can't lift your hands. Do you ever find when you're discouraged that it's just your arms hang at your side? You're slumped over. You just don't have the energy to stand up and to work. Now, Nehemiah knew that this was the result of these innuendos. But look what he does. But he prays, now strengthen my hands. That's an indication that his hands were slumping as well. Even though he knew what the implications of being accused indirectly were, that it didn't prevent him from receiving that impact, that he was discouraged. And I've heard from people from time to time, even in the church, that you've been victims of people saying, well, people are saying that, you know, they're offended because of this, and you don't get the direct communication. And it can be discouraging. But I would encourage you, do what Nehemiah does. He took it to God. He says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. God, I'm discouraged, but you know what? Give me strength. Help me to keep going. Turn to God in those times of discouragement that comes from indirect accusations. When we do that, God will give us the strength to finish strong. Now finally, after invitations didn't work and innuendos didn't work, then it came right out to just intimidation. It says, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah. And it says that he was shut in. And perhaps he was shut in so that he could make it sound like this is really a legitimate concern. I'm not going outside. Nehemiah, you shouldn't go outside either. And he approaches Nehemiah with this solution. He says, let's run to the temple together. We can find sanctuary there. And we'll lock ourselves in the temple and we'll be safe because, Nehemiah, people are trying to kill you. I mean, that's intimidating. And Nehemiah says, no, I can't go. Why couldn't Nehemiah go and hide in the temple? Because Nehemiah wasn't a priest or a Levite. Nehemiah didn't have access into the temple. Remember, the first king of Israel, Saul, he was a great man and he accomplished much, but God ultimately rejected Saul. Do you remember why? Because Saul was impatient because Samuel hadn't arrived to offer a sacrifice before they went into battle with the Philistines. And so Saul said, well, I'll just do it myself. And so Saul offered the sacrifice. Even back in the days of the kings of Israel, there was a separation of church and state. The priests didn't do what the kings were supposed to do, and the kings couldn't do what the priests were supposed to do. But Saul did, and God rejected him. And Nehemiah understood that if he were to, out for his own personal safety, run and take sanctuary in the temple, that he would be transgressing in the same way that Saul did, going someplace where he did not have access to, even if it meant he was just trying to save his life. And so he resisted this intimidation for self-preservation and protection. And Dave is going to come now and have the kids come up and show us a little bit about what intimidation can do and how we deal with it. So, Dave, take it over. I have a part.
You have to sit here.
Here you go. Here. You want this?
Yeah.
There you go. My part is to sit. I like that.
Yeah, this is an unusual opportunity for Pastor Craig to sit during a sermon. But I'm going to give you this. Can we have all the kids come forward and head over to that side right there?
Thank you.
Pastor Craig has something. It's a reward.
Oh,
yeah, it's an undisclosed reward.
Okay.
Okay, how about all you kids sit over here? How many of you are glad that school is over? Summer started, right? Yeah. Good. Let's kind of scooch this way, kind of crunch in this way, because we have to have a good amount of distance between you and your reward. Okay? You're glad that school is over. Has anyone of you ever run into a bully in your school, in your classes? Bullies. Yeah, I see a couple hands. What's a bully like? What does a bully do to you? Natalie, they're mean to you. They say bad things about you, right? They do bad things, and they try to keep you from doing well and getting your reward. I'm going to have to unplug this because we're going to have some thing very much like VBS. Since school is over and VBS is coming, this is going to be a foretaste of what you're going to have. Normally it would be done with water and scoochy balls, whatever they're called, scrunchy balls. But we have paper balls instead, but you'll find out about that in a moment. So, these people that Pastor Craig was preaching about, they were like bullies back then to this guy named Nehemiah that was trying to build the wall, and they wanted to keep him from building that. So today we're going to have a demonstration, a VBS-like demonstration of what bullying is like, okay? Who among you has a good arm for throwing? A good arm. Good arm. I see fingers pointing. Okay. We have two volunteers here. You two are bullies. Where's Hikari? Oh, there you are. Okay. I have my lovely assistant. You two bullies, I need you to stand right about here. And these two girls are going to try and keep you from getting your reward by throwing invectives or bad words at you and things like that. That's what these are, okay? So you stand right here and here. Fortunately, these are not flaming darts, right? Your task is to go from here to Pastor Craig, who has your reward, okay? But you don't want to get hit by any of these things that they're going to throw. To make it more fair, I have blindfolds. And these are for you girls here. So, that's to tighten it in case it's too loose. Here's a better one. A dream blindfold. Okay? So, you two are going to be throwing these balls at the kids, your friends, who you're going to bully. You're going to be throwing at them so that they can't get safely over here to Pastor Craig.
And how many rewards? I mean, there's lots.
There's
in
a
here.
Lot. There's
so
a huge.
They get
reward.
A handful. Each one that makes it, or just one?
Three.
Okay.
They get three awards.
Okay.
You want them to stand here? Oh, okay. You can stand this way. Just don't throw too hard. So stand over here. And so as the kids cross, you're going to throw, but you're going to be blindfolded. However, we're going to, as bullies always have, someone to help them cheat. Hikari is going to help them cheat. So she's going to tell when kids are crossing. Okay? So your goal, your task is to get safely to Pastor Craig without getting hit by a ball. If you get hit by a ball, you have to go here. If you don't get hit by a ball, you go over here, okay? And Pastor Craig, you just stay there. Okay, got it? So, blindfolds on. Did anybody have any questions? Anyone scared? Are you scared? You don't want to get hit by a ball? You don't want to be intimidated by your friends? Okay, so stand up over here. And since we only have a few minutes, go ahead and stand up. I'm going to send you forth like lambs to the slaughter. I'm going to send you forth kind of bunch this way. And then I'm going to send you forth in twos so you can go with friends, okay? So, Hikari, you're ready? Hikari is the, she's the cheater, okay? And then our two other friends here are your friends, are your bullies, and they're going to start throwing as soon as I send two of you across at a time. Okay, who wants to go first?
Dave? Are they supposed to run across or walk across?
Well, it depends on the strategy that they use.
Okay.
You know, Nehemiah figured that if he built the wall in 52 or as fast as possible, he would make it. But then there are others that might actually want to go kind of slow and sneakily, trying to avoid the pain.
All right.
So can I have two first volunteers so you can all... Okay. How about you two here? Stand over here and get ready. And when I say go... You try and get to Pastor Craig safely, okay? Where are your balls? You have all the balls all set? Okay, on one, two, three. One, two, three, go. Go. Not me. Okay. We have two safe ones. Right, stand over right here. Did everyone get that now? Everyone knows? You have to throw harder. Throw harder. Okay, who's the next two? You can't throw hard? Your sister can't throw hard? That sounds like a challenge. You'll have to throw as hard as you can because the balls aren't going very far. Okay, you two here. On three. One, two, three, go. Go, go. Oh, man. I think everyone's going to make it. Someone is supposed to fall. Can I have another two volunteers? Two volunteers. Jody, you want to go? Yeah? Start over here so you have a longer way to go. Because the Christian life seems like it just keeps going on and on. We have to just keep going. Okay, on three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Wow. Don't you adults wish you could do this too? You know, you're all welcome to come to VPS. Two more.
Dave, yeah. You're going to be cleaning up afterwards, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Two more. Okay, two, one, someone else, Miley, you want to go? No? You don't want to meet the challenge? Okay, on three. One, two, three, go. You're throwing it at me. No, go. Oh. I think some cheating has to be done. Yeah. You don't know how to cheat. She's too honest. Okay. Do you want to take off the blindfold? Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, boy. Sometimes the enemy can actually see us. Okay. Two more volunteers. It's easy. It's quick. Okay. The Christian life is easy. Go ahead, Miley. Be brave. One, two, three, go. Sometimes they won't even let you start. Here we have one. We have one person who's hit. Okay, you're on this side. You're on this side.
You made it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't run.
Oh, there's no room over there. Okay.
Oh, okay. We have two. Hey, this is really good. Okay, two more. Two more. You know they don't have so many balls there. They're going to run out really soon. Okay, go. One, two, three, go. 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 Oh, okay. Oh, this is getting too easy now. How about now you bullies have to throw underhand. Oh, it's not fair. Life is not fair. Okay. Would you like to go? It's okay? You need a shield? You need a shield? Yeah. And Natalie. No. Okay. All four of you. Because there's safety in numbers. Okay. Run. One, two, three, go. Hey. You have to let them start.
Come, girls. Ooh, good job.
Good job. Natalie made it. Oh, I was a poor shield. Sorry, you can stand over here. That's okay. Okay, last two. Go. We don't have time. We're running out of time. You know, the rapture is coming soon. I'll shield you, or I'll try. Let's go. Let's walk slowly and bravely through our Christian life. I'll encourage you. I'll encourage you to move. See, it's like Christ shielding us from trials. Okay. So how many got hit? Everyone that got hit over here. Everybody, and you two bullies, stand over here. Okay. Now you all made it safely to your reward, right? Yeah, and that's there.
Yep.
How about you guys? No. You know, not everybody makes it through all the trials and the intimidation safely. But do you think God loves you any less because of that? No, he doesn't love you any less. So you still get a reward. So you're over on this side. Okay. How about our two blindfolded bullies? What? This, huh? What does Jesus say about enemies? What should you do about your enemies? Oh, the enemy says love them. You're supposed to love them. Do you know why they were wearing the blindfolds? Because you're blinded?
Yes.
Because you're blinded by the God of this world?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you who are God's children are supposed to what?
Love them.
Yeah. So because you love your friends and you have taken off their blindfolds so that they can see, they get a reward too because they have become children of God too. So you get a reward too. So all of you, of course it has to work out this way, right? I'll get a reward.
I'll let you and
you'll let
finish
me give
the
out
message.
The reward?
Is that okay?
Sure.
All right.
Can I have some too?
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
Thanks, kids. Come on.
Yeah, when Dave shared with me the general idea, I thought, okay, we'll see how that works. But it worked. Good job, Dave. Thank you. So Nehemiah has this intimidation intended to paralyze him, to discredit himself in the eyes of the people that he was leading. Not only would he stop the work, but he would lose his ability to lead. But what does Nehemiah do? How does he face this direct intimidation? He turns to God. He doesn't respond in kind. He tells when he's intimidated or when he's invited to disobey God, he said, should a man like me run away? Should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? Nehemiah says, I'm not going to do it. He places his trust in God completely. And notice that he doesn't respond in kind. He doesn't intimidate back. He doesn't threaten the people who are threatening him. He turns that over to God as well, and he simply says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they've done. Remember the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. God, I'm going to leave it with you. My confidence is in you. You can protect me. You can take care of the people that are trying to intimidate me. I'm going to complete this job because my eyes are fixed on you. The writer of Hebrews understood this concept as well when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, let us run with perseverance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is how we go through life. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Sometimes that race can get rough. Like Dave said, the Christian life is a long journey. And there are portions of that journey that are challenging to run. So from time to time, I get this... I hear this little voice saying, Craig, you need to get in shape. And my initial response is, well, round's a shape. But, you know, I'll get motivated and, you know, I'll go, especially now that you're on Medicare and you get like these free health club memberships. You have to, you know, what is it called? Silver and fit, I think is what they call it now. You have to admit that you're silver, but hey, you get free membership. So we'll go, and I'll try to spend a half hour on a treadmill. You know, sometimes I'll run, sometimes I'll set the incline up to about 8% and walk at like 4 miles an hour. And I get on there, and I fix my eyes on one thing, the timer. I do. I watch it the whole time. Whoa, there's only 29 minutes to go. There's only 28. And work your way down. And then you get down and it's single digits. And you think, I can do this. But the whole time, I'm watching the timer. Because I know when the timer hits zero, I'm done. The writer of Hebrews is telling us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him the entire time that we go through the race of life. And why Jesus? Because he died on the cross for us. He loves us so much. Jesus was willing to go to the cross so that you and I might be cleansed of our sins, forgiven, redeemed, adopted into the family of God. We are loved so deeply by the Son of God. And it doesn't end there. Jesus ascends to heaven and he sends his Holy Spirit so that you and I might have the power to finish strong, to live life the way God intended it to walk in fellowship with him. And then the word tells us that Jesus even now serves as our mediator seated at the right hand of the Father, that Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me that we might finish strong. Keep our eyes fixed on him. And as we do, when the going gets tough, when we receive these invitations that might be good, but they're not the best, when we receive these innuendos, these hints, these indirect threats that people are talking, and your hands get weak, Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And even when it comes to outright intimidation, people threatening your life, don't take the shortcut. Take the right way and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He and He alone can help us to finish strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that even though there are bullies in life, or sometimes people just hinting that they might be bullies, or sometimes even just good invitations that keep us from the best, help us to remember, Father, what You've placed us here for, and help us to finish strong. And again, as we've looked at Your word today, may we not just be hearers, but doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen.